is 6:32. You probably heard in the background Bruce James. He's so on time, we don't even have his intro ready yet, but maybe we'll get him a new one this year. Here wearing roll-on deodorant, Bruce James. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, you're talking about Phyllis Diller and spray-on deodorant and everything. I said, now they bring me in. So I fit right into that old group. The Phyllis Diller thing, Tommy, and being smokers in here, she was the first woman that I ever remember on TV that walked out on the stage blowing smoke.
Yeah.
I always had a cigarette with her.
Was it the Phyllis Diller show?
She was hooked up with Bob Hope's show.
She'd be on all those variety shows.
Johnny Carson.
Speaking of which, and I brought it up yesterday, nobody else will want to see this. You'll want to see it on AETN. They're running the best of Ed Sullivan, and they don't do all the stuff in between. It's just him introducing the guests and then thanking them. And they didn't even lip sync back then. They went for it. They got Tom Jones up there, and you could hear his hands clapping. That's how I picked up on it. But it continued last night, and the list of guests, he must have been the man. Association Supremes, Rolling Stones 6 times, Elvis 3 times, Beatles 5 times. Johnny Rivers, I used to love Johnny Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
You know where he's from?
Yeah.
Where?
He's actually from up New York way, but he made it to Baton Rouge. Yep. And when I used to be in high school, he played Old Vapor's Lounge on Biloxi Beach over there right where Buffett started. But he's originally from New York State that moved to Baton Rouge.
He was a
secret agent man.
What's his name? We always call him over there after and make him take a bow and say something to him. Make sure you tell all the people in Baton Rouge I said, hey.
He
said the first thing that came to his mind, you know somebody in Baton Rouge? Ed Sullivan. But the Mamas and the Papa Sonny and Cher, Stevie Wonder, and it goes through all these things. And it's hokey, the stuff that they do. But to go back that far, and I'm watching that thinking I remember that. I turned to Karen and I said, how long ago was that? She said, about 43 years ago.
Wow.
43 years ago. Well, there's a lot to talk about in sports. We'll get that. Let's get the Ninja in here first. What's up, Ninja?
Good morning, Tommy. Good morning, David, Roger, Bruce.
What's up, Ninja?
Well, it looks like today might be the day that Isaac is born. And, you know, the tropics are pretty active right now. We have another system that just came off the African coast. And it's looking pretty healthy as well. So it looks like we might have Isaac and Joyce back-to-back. And right now the models are still bringing Isaac up close to the islands and then swinging it up across Florida, similar to what Hurricane Charlie did, that particular type of track where it just crosses the peninsula. So it looks like the Gulf is safe at the moment.
Oh, I know the people at Channel 7 didn't say anything about it. They were too busy showing their school pictures yesterday. They showed Ned Permian in the first grade.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
It was a good bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Christina Munoz had the biggest glasses on and the biggest fro.
That's funny.
They were like, guess who these guys are? And I Beth Hunt looked like a boy.
Beth Hunt did
she
look
pretty.
She must
have been somewhat of a tomboy.
Funny. We asked yesterday. We asked Roger and Tommy. Bruce, do you and Ninja? Do you remember your first day at school, like in the first grade?
No, I went to kindergarten. But we said yesterday I do. My teacher's name was Mrs. I couldn't pronounce her name, but we called her Mrs. Spaghetti.
I can remember the teacher's name, but I can't remember my first day.
I remember there.
I do.
Yeah.
You remember your first day?
Yeah, a guy told me he was going to beat me up.
Your first day at school ever?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you need to look him back up. Yeah, I'm back. Come on. You were starting
I remember my first day of kindergarten, and I remember
God,
my first day of school.
God, that's unbelievable.
Because my first day of school, I went to a Catholic school, and my teacher's name was Sister Angelita. And that's back when they wore the habit, the full-tailed boogie, like the God. Flying nun.
And wrapped your knuckles with a ruler.
Bam, and they will get your attention. Just so that there's something... I don't know that just the fear of God when you see that robe and the beads and everything walking towards you. It's like, oh man, I got to act right this year. We're gonna have to transfer next year, Mama.
No mortal sin for
you. No mortal sin. Well, there wasn't no fantasizing about no teacher. I can tell you that.
Well, you know, Tommy, we were talking yesterday about walking to school, and I mentioned to David that through text that you know the difference to me was we went to schools in at least in California, and I'm sure it was in a lot of cases. We went to schools in the neighborhood.
Yep.
We didn't go all the way across the city. And what I think is crazy now is, you know, there's kids where Clinton Elementary School is. There's kids that live very close to that school that go to school in Little Rock, and then there's kids in Little Rock that drive that come all the way over and go to school in Sherwood. So it just, I don't know.
With the price of gasoline, their worries about the ozone, it seems like it'd save a lot on both if they just park those buses and let kids go to neighborhood school. But I'm sure they've got a good reason.
Yeah. Anyway, weather-wise for us, gentlemen, there is a disturbance that's swinging through Oklahoma and Texas right now. And what it's done is it's got some cloudiness associated. No rain, but we'll have some clouds around for the first part of the day, and then we'll be back to sunshine. We're going to warm up to 90 degrees this afternoon. But the nighttime lows, like this morning, you know, that's what we're going to see again tomorrow. Temperatures in the upper 50s to low to mid-60s, and then just right around 90, 92 degrees for the rest of the week. Maybe a small chance of rain coming in over the weekend, but all the attention in the weather world is going to be going towards the tropics because there's really nothing going on in the U.S. So,
well, just keep in mind the Gov for me, please.
I will definitely do that. There's a lot of people. I'm amazed at the number of people that have plans to go down to the Redneck Riviera. I guess Labor Day weekend's a big time for people to go down there as well. So there's a lot of people concerned about it, so I'll keep you updated on it. But, David, did you get a chance to look at that NBC report on where they have the hogs picked?
Well, it's funny. Ninja sent me a link on the this NBC poll where they had the hogs finishing second in the SEC West, which we have not seen yet.
Oh, by the way,
I'm looking right here. Playboy. Guess where Playboy has us?
12th.
Pretty darn good guess, 13th.
And did you hear what Skip Bayless said yesterday?
Hold on, one other thing with Playboy. You know who their two, they actually have a Razorback. It's first-team preseason All-American. Who do you think it is?
Wilson. Nope. Davis?
No, Davis.
Yesterday, for the love of God, all you Johnny Come Lately, and I find most of these people to be 35 and under, who say that ESPN has a conspiracy against the Razorbacks. We've heard this for years. Yesterday, Skip Bayless, their number one mouthpiece, comes out and picks Arkansas to play USC.
You've got to be kidding
in the national championship.
You've got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
He picked Arkansas to play for the national championship.
And lose.
And lose.
Well, you know, it's an interesting pick. It's sort of an outside-the-box pick. Yeah. But you look at it, there could be could be a surprise pick. It's there.
I was talking to Bill last night, and when the year Auburn won it.
Yeah.
Every year, whoever wins it, somewhere along the schedule, there was a fumble. There was a blocked punt. There was somewhere along the line, you got to get lucky.
Something went well.
Something's got to be lucky. They also picked four finalists, one of them on ESPN for the Heisman Trophy, Tyler Wilson.
No way, really? Wow.
They picked for the, Doak Walker Award?
Running Back Award.
Nile Davis.
Right. The
Punter Award. They're four finalists, yeah. One from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So of all you people that say they've got a conspiracy against
now is that the show? What's it called? Not Pete. What's that show called?
It's called College Football.
Oh, College Football Live?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know Bayless was doing that show. I'll be darned.
Yeah, that's why our guy's not on till the 15th because they have that on, and now they're going to start up Wimbledon. Not Wimbledon, U.S. Open.
Oh, okay.
And they're finishing. That's why we don't see Lepetard anymore. Nile Davis on Doak Walker list and Dylan Breeding on the Ray Guy list of finalists.
I'll be darned. That's nice.
Hey, I did hear from an OU fan, a local
TV. Did he wear stick deodorant or did he wear spray-on deodorant?
I don't know, but he was making fun. He said, look, Arkansas is ranked number 10. They're a top 10 team, and you can't even sell out War Memorial Stadium.
I'm hearing that all over the South, too.
And I think it's a legit point.
It is a legit point.
I caught hell among hell. Acreage was all over me. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. I understand if you want to be recognized as one of the top 10 programs in the country and you've got the best team that you're going to put on the field in probably years, you can't sell out 54, 55, 56,000 stadium. I just don't understand that. Then fine. Don't call yourself sports fans. Call yourself Razorback fans, barely.
Well, I thought Jim Harris wrote a very good article about that in Arkansas 360 when he pointed out, you know, the poor team Mississippi State and a very, very poor town Starkville for the last 2 years has sold out every game over 55,000 regardless who they're playing. And, you know, they're not picked to win anything, obviously not a top 10. So I don't get it. I mean, that's the number one question down on the Gulf Coast, Alabama fan, LSU fan, because they read the internets and they read everything about it. And they said, you know, they can't fathom that. They cannot fathom that in a capital city, a team as exciting as the Razorbacks, with the tradition that it has and picked as high, cannot sell out 55,000 tickets, regardless of who you're playing.
Well, they threw, I know Akery threw the question out there one day. I threw the question out there one day, and there was a very, you know, that's kind of a backlash taking LSU away. It's kind of this, it's kind of, look, you go or they go. It's as simple as that.
Well, Tennessee's going to play Georgia State this year. Bill Curry's ball club's going to play over there.
His last year, he's retiring after the year.
He's announced his retirement. And there'll be 100-something thousand people that bought tickets to go see Tennessee play Georgia State, because they don't care who Tennessee plays. They want to see their Vols play.
Right.
We should want to say, I don't care who Arkansas play. I want to
see
my Razorbacks play.
Exactly. I don't know where the disconnect happened over the past 4 or 5 years where that happened, but it has happened, because I can remember back when you played and they'd play four in Little Rock, three in Fayetteville, right, some years. They'd be sold out.
Every time. I never played.
I do give some credence to the fact that a 58-year-old guy like myself who lives in Cabot and wakes up and it's raining on a Saturday and he's got the big screen TV and all. I buy some of that credence. I will buy. But your core fans got to be your 30-year-old.
Well, exactly. You got to pass it back down.
Yeah.
When you were that age group, you were doing
Didn't miss a game.
There you go.
And you lose a generation or somebody Tommy's age, or even in their 40s, Roger's age, who used to go to all the
and
games.
And your age.
And now have, that's right, and they have kids now and all this. And so they're gone, but then the younger group, maybe, I don't know why, maybe they're used to, you know, not getting in, maybe they're watching on TV, I don't know, maybe they don't have the money. For some reason,
well,
we're
they
not
do it at
other
schools, though. I mean,
that's
true. They got big screen TVs in Starkville.
Yeah, go look at Ole Miss. They're not going to have a very good football team for 2 or 3 years. I promise you, they'll sell 50,000-60,000 seats because people are going to go back to the Grove to see their friends, go down and watch the Rebels play. And then you can go on and say that about any school.
All right, let me ask you this. What if we have 62,000 for the first two the first game in Fayetteville and some of those games in Fayetteville where we have 12,000
the bottom line
then
on
it
that
is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You don't really, because you have a such a population now within 75 miles of Fayetteville that there should never ever be an empty seat up there.
Do you know what the highest price ticket online? If you go online to buy an average ticket to an average school's game, you know who has the highest? Nebraska.
Really?
It's like $272 average online.
Well, you know, they don't – what amazes me, and I didn't learn this till recently, is the number of students at the University of Arkansas that don't go to a game.
Yeah.
Now, at LSU, the students have to get a lottery to get a ticket.
Yeah.
It's that in demand. But there's only 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 tickets, student tickets, that get used at Fayetteville with approximately 22,000 students up there.
Well, I think too.
But the students, like my daughter, you know, I think they allot 10,000 seats for students up there, and the season passes, the athletic pass that you buy, they're all out. And whether or not, but I think a lot of the kids, they end up going to the game. A lot of them just tailgate and stay out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They don't go inside the stadium. That's correct.
Well, I will be curious to see.
But coming down to Little Rock, I think they only allow.
I don't think. Listen, you
say this. The most exciting
moment
in Little Rock, Arkansas, every year. The most exciting moment in the year in Little Rock, Arkansas, is the very first time that team runs out that A, and that's number one. Give me number two. That's how far ahead it is.
Well, I'm just going to tell you. Everybody's pointing their finger at Little Rock about not. Just wait till you look up. Just let's look at Fayetteville.
Well, that's also,
other than LSU, Alabama.
They hold all the cards.
I'm just making a point. If we're going to talk about bad fans down here, I'm just saying. Other than LSU, Alabama, let's see how many turn out for those other games. I don't think it's just a Little Rock.
I agree with you.
I think it may be a fan in general.
It's a fan in general. It has nothing to do with Little Rock.
Bothers me. It doesn't make me mad, but it bothers me. We go around pounding ourselves on the chest. We're college football's greatest fans. We ain't.
I thought you hit on it a while ago, and this is the way I interpret it. We have great internet fans, TV fans, and tailgate fans. We don't have the support that they're going to go sit in a seat and buy a ticket and be there, win, lose, or draw.
Well,
they're going to go to a party. Okay, course,
I remember watching you play, and I can never. I can remember as a 12-year-old kid, the Razorbacks coming out of that A for the first time, and 55,000 people standing cheering. And the only time you're ever going to see that is when I retire. That will be 55,000
people. Well, let's make another point too. We have to acknowledge Razorback fans. The last two trips to Dallas, Cotton Bowl, Southwest Classic, all those. 30,000 or 25 to 30, Sugar Bowl 30,000.
Yeah, but they do that. Is that a vacation?
Well, no. I'm just saying. You listen. There are a lot of teams that would love to have 30,000 people go. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. If we're gonna call out the fans for not being great fans, although you hear that
we've always been a good bowl.
That's what I'm saying. That's a pretty significant deal. But for some reason,
I'm with Bruce. They save up that.
Well, still, you got to give them credit. There's a lot of other schools that don't get that, so you got to give them credit for that.
You can't defend one and go to the other. Well, the bottom line is home ticket sales. We're not talking about bowl games or going to New Orleans or going to Dallas.
Okay, what if you had 15,000 fans in there? What would you say?
I remember one time they went to the CarQuest Bowl and they took 7 people.
Well, who would want to go to the CarQuest Bowl?
Apparently nobody.
What about like at Razorback Stadium, I think when it comes down to this time of the year when most of the good tickets are gone and all that's left is the very top nosebleed section, to me, I understand the whole deal, let's just keep all the ticket prices the same, but if you drop those tickets in the upper deck a little bit, you might sell those, because I think people, when they get to now and they look and they go, oh, I could either sit at the upper deck or I can watch it on TV. A lot of them don't want to pay the same price as somebody down in the bottom for a ticket where you can't really even see the game. You have to watch it on the...
I'll give some credence to that. That's as Bruce said.
They had that same issue at Tennessee and Alabama. All the big stadiums have those upper decks.
I think with 20 rows up to the top.
Arkansas Federal offers a no-nonsense approach to improving each member's financial life. Now, here's Bruce James with Tommy, David, and Roger on 103.7 The Buzz.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got
Kevin Bruce on because Bruce remembers Phyllis Diller. He remembers Ed Sullivan. He remembers Jared Hall, and he probably at least one time in his life used spray on deodorant.
Right guard.
Right guard, exactly, right guard. It started at my grandma's. Three late notes, and I only jotted these down right before I went to sleep the first time. I'm having David Basil sleep apnea. NFL preseason games. I'm going to throw this out there. The New York Jets have not scored in 8 quarters. They have 9 sacks for their brand new quarterbacks. Brian Mallett looked pretty good last night. There were some late hits last night that were just absolutely positively over the top stupid. And Gruden said as much. And August the 29th at 7 p.m. on Channel 7, there will be an ASU special on the ASU football program. I can't ever remember that happening. Ever. So Gus continues to weave his magic. But I was just stunned that they were, first of all, what do you got Michael Vick out there for? He's barely going to be good for a game or two anyhow before he gets hurt. And it's about the fourth pass he throws, he gets decked, he gets hit right in the ribs. They have to tote him off. I just don't understand. I guess you got to let him play some, but Brady didn't play down last night.
No.
But if you're Tom Brady, do you really need to play preseason football? Maybe one series, two series just to get the and Mallett played 2 quarters and had a pretty good effort. But all these other guys are pretty much, they put them on the bench because, if you get hurt the last game of the and it's happened before. Players have been, there have been 3 career season-ending injuries so far, and they don't know the deal. Dez Bryant got hurt yesterday at practice. You got to practice. I understand that.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to what I want to ask Bruce about, Nile Davis and his conditioning or lack thereof. He has not been hit yet, and I wish we had the cut. It was of John L. Smith coming out and saying, we've always had a philosophy, and he sits there for a minute and he goes, we always try to put the best players out there, and that answers the question. And I'm like, huh? What the hell does that mean? Should he, as a running back coming back after that, should he take part in full-scale drills at any time during the fall camp?
You know, that's an individual thing. Psychologically, how's he going to handle it? What has it been, 20 months since he's played?
Since he's been taken to the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that long? It's only been 12 months. How long has he been out? Just 1 year? He missed all last year.
Yeah, missed all
so
last.
It's been a little over 12, around 12 months. You know, if he can handle it, I mean, he obviously is a very, very well-conditioned athlete, and his legs and everything are nothing gets you ready to be hit. I can say that. Baz will tell you that. You can practice that all the time.